time is a constant, a steady reality in our life. But what if that steady constant was actually a phantom? What if all that we knew of time was unraveling? Today, on The Soul Trap, we talk about phantom time. Thank you for taking the time to tune in and listen to this episode of The Soul Trap. Make sure to check out thesoultrap.com. We have a lot of articles there. You can also see some of our videos. You can also get some of our merchandise, our t-shirts and stickers. We'd love to have you spread the word about The Soul Trap. Make sure you check out thesoultrap.com. Follow us on Facebook and also on Instagram. And we're just glad to have you tuning in and listening wherever and whenever this broadcast finds you. Time is a mysterious thing, is it not? Time is all around us and beyond us. It is something we are all familiar with and something we all at the same time have no real clear idea exactly how to define. There are many attempts at defining it. There are many approaches to it. But fundamentally, time is an enigma. There really is no way to escape time. Time is in eternity, where we assume that there is no time. But without the presence of time, eternity and no time would be meaningless. To have black, you must have white. To have night, you must have day. And for eternity to have some sense of meaning to eternal beings, there likewise must be some modicum of time element. The Bible begins with time in the beginning. And even in the new heaven and the new earth, there are seasons. Seasons, we are told, when the tree of life bears fruit. And seasons represent time. Time is the magic elixir for all things, both spiritual and physical and outward, inward. Time almost has a divine quality about it. When God defines himself to Moses in Exodus chapter number 3, he uses time as a fundamental element in the description of who he was. For when Moses was to ask on behalf of the children of Israel who God was, or more to the point, what God's name is, he said, "You will tell them, I am that I am." That very definition of his self-existence is rooted in the eternal present, the eternal time. Time. There are a myriad of theories abounding today about time and eternity, and there are a lot of theories about experiments and manipulations of time. One that we're familiar with is the Philadelphia experiment. Another that has gained traction within the last couple years is the Mandela effect, and today we discuss phantom time. In other words, is it possible, is it even probable, that at some point in our history, a chunk of time has been lost? How do you and I actually know that it is 2020? How do we know that at some period of time, a chunk of our time, of our life, of our human timeline has not been lost, and what we think we are living in is merely a phantom of time in the end? Obviously, this is a very interesting, albeit quite outlandish theory. But is there a possibility that we have a missing section of time? In a very interesting article by Katie Serena, the title of the article is "Bizarre Phantom Time Hypothesis." Theory says it's actually the year 1720 because the early Middle Ages were faked. According to the phantom time hypothesis, Charlemagne never existed, along with 297 years that were just made up. The article states, in a world where every idea seems divisive, it can help to know there are at least a few things that the world as a whole agrees on. Time, the calendar, the basic idea that history as we know it happened pretty much like historians say it did, are just a few of those things. I mean, after all, at the very least, we can all agree that the year, at the time of this writing of the article, is 2017, right? Wrong, she states. According to German historian Hubert Ehrlich, the year is actually 1720. The Gregorian calendar is a lie, and a chunk of Middle Ages was completely made up. No, this man is not crazy, at least not officially, and he actually claims to have archaeological evidence to support his case. In 1991, Ehrlich proposed his theory, aptly called the Phantom Time Hypothesis. He claims there was a conspiracy entered into back in 1000 AD to change the dating system by three world rulers. Ehrlich claims that Pope Sylvester II, Holy Roman Emperor Otto III, and Byzantine Emperor Constantine VII all got together and changed the calendar to make it seem as if Otto had begun his reign in the millennial year of 1000 AD rather than 996. The reason being that 1000 sounded a lot more meaningful than 996, considering AD stands for Anno Domini, or we know it as in the year of our Lord. Ehrlich further claims that the trio altered existing documents and created fraudulent historical events and people in order to back themselves up. He claims that the Holy Roman Emperor Charlemagne was not in fact a real ruler, but simply a King Arthur type legend. He explains that through all of this tampering and forgery, an extra 297 years were added to history. 297 years that didn't actually happen. Ehrlich says that an inadequate system of dating medieval artifacts, as well as an over-reliance on written history, are to blame. According to his research, the years between 614 and 911 AD don't quite add up. The year prior to 614 were full of historically significant events, as were the years after 9/11. However, he claims that the ones in between were unusually dull. He also points out that mathematical discrepancies between the Julian and Gregorian calendars further complicate things. The Julian calendar says that a full year is 365.25 days long, whereas the Gregorian calendar, the one we use currently now, says it's actually 11 minutes shorter than that. Furthermore, Ehrlich claims that Roman architecture in the 10th century Western Europe is too modern for the time period in which it was supposedly built. Though his phantom time hypothesis seems far-fetched, Ehrlich has actually managed to find some supporters. Dr. Hans Ulrich Niemitz published a paper in 1995 entitled "Did the Early Middle Ages Really Exist?" in which he claims they did not, at least not on the timescale that we have. The article states, between antiquity, 1 AD, and the Renaissance, 1500 AD, historians count approximately 300 years too many in their chronology, Niemitz wrote. In other words, the Roman Emperor Augustus really lived 1700 years ago instead of the conventionally assumed 2000 years. Some of Niemitz's claims echoed Ehrlich's, such as the discrepancy between the Julian and the Gregorian calendar, and the lack of reliable historical sources. Though Niemitz did admit that a counter-argument could exist, as the Byzantium and Islamic regions were at war during the period, which was well documented. But most historians worldwide are critical of the Phantom Time hypothesis. Countless historians have chosen to argue it, and to state that recorded dates of solar eclipses are part of the supporting fact that we are on the correct timeline, along with documented histories from other parts of the world that overlap the missing timeline. So, what are we to believe? If, indeed, phantom time is legitimate, that certainly does throw off so much, does it not? There's another great article by Alan Bellows. Alan Bellows writes The Phantom Time Hypothesis. When Dr. Hans Ulrich Niemans introduces his paper on the Phantom Time Hypothesis, he kindly asks his readers to be patient, benevolent, and open to radically new ideas, because his claims are highly unconventional, to say the least. This is because his paper is suggesting three difficult-to-believe propositions. One, hundreds of years ago, our calendar was polluted with 297 years which never occurred. Two, this is not the year 2005 at the writing of this article, but rather 1708. And three, the purveyors of this hypothesis are not crackpots. Now, as stated earlier in reading from the article, the Phantom Time Hypothesis suggests that the early Middle Ages, between 614 and 911 AD, simply never happened, but they were somehow added to the calendar, either by accident, by misrepresentation of documents, or by deliberate falsification of calendar conspirators. This would mean that all artifacts ascribed to those three centuries belong to other periods, and that all events thought to have occurred during that same period occurred at other times, or are outright fabrications. For instance, Herbert Illig, one of the leading proponents of the theory, actually believes, as we mentioned earlier, that Charlemagne was a fictional character. But the question becomes, is there evidence of this theory, or is it simply outlandish silliness? Alan Bellows continues to write, "It seems that historians are plagued by a plethora of falsified documents from the Middle Ages. That much we do know is true. And such was the subject of an archaeological conference in Munich, Germany in 1986. In his lecture there, Horst Furman, president of Monumenta Germanis Historica, described how some documents forged by the, wait for it, Roman Catholic Church during the Middle Ages were created hundreds of years before their great moments arrived, after which they were embraced by medieval society. This implied, the author states, that whomever produced the forgeries must have very skillfully anticipated the future, or there was some discrepancy in calculating the dates." Now, as we digress here, not that I'm giving full credence and weight to this theory, but you would have to ask yourself, if anyone, if any group had a legitimate interest in altering the calendar and thereby throwing off the dating system, would it not be the Papists? This was reportedly, the article goes on to say, this was reportedly the first bit of evidence that roused Ehling's curiosity. He wondered why the church would have forged documents hundreds of years before they would have become useful. So he and his group examined other fakes from preceding centuries, and they divined chronological distortions. This led them to investigate the origin of the Gregorian calendar, which raised even more inconsistency. In 1582, the Gregorian calendar we still use today was introduced by Pope Gregory the 13th. That's exactly right. The calendar that you and I operate on today was introduced by a pope, and his number happened to be 13. Pope Gregory introduced this to replace the outdated Julian calendar, which had been implemented in 45 BC. The Gregorian calendar was designed to correct for a 10-day discrepancy caused by the fact that the Julian calendar and the Julian calendar year was 10.8 minutes too long. But by Ehling's math, the 1,627 years which had passed since the Julian calendar started should have accrued a 13-day discrepancy. A 10-day error would have only taken 1,257 years. So Ehling and his group went hunting for other gaps in history and found, surprisingly, a few. For example, a gap of building in Constantinople, 558 AD to 908 AD, and a gap in the doctrine of faith, especially the gap in the evolution of theory and meaning of purgatory between 600 AD until 1100 AD. From all of this data, they have become convinced that at some time the calendar year was increased by 297 years without the corresponding passage of time. Sometimes a hypothesis which challenges convention can be alluring, particularly the author of the article writes, when it would plausibly fit most of the facts. But as Carl Sagan used to say, extraordinary claims require extraordinary evidence. All of the evidence presented by Ehrlich and his group, mostly written in German, is at best circumstantial. Their hypothesis does raise some interesting questions and point out some inconsistencies in history, but the writer of the article states, to jump to such an outlandish conclusion indicates an unscientific approach to the problem. Further, their suggestions for the possible motives behind this calendar conspiracy border on absurd. For instance, the hypothesis they put forward is that Otto III modified the calendar so that his reign would include the year 1000, because this would put him in God's good graces according to his understanding of Christian millennialism. Is that absurd? After all the blood shedding of the Inquisition, all the insanity that comes out of the Catholic Church, is it that absurd? I don't know. So although the writer goes on to state history and the future are both strange places, neither seems to be quite as strange as the strangeness of phantom time. Clive Lewis in Ground Zero writes a very interesting article talking about the fragility of the construct of our time and past. He writes, now there are several ways to challenge this hypothesis. I would say the Bible would be a great place to start. However, the Pope made an announcement that now put the dating of events of the Bible into question. The Pope now claims in a new book that Jesus was born several years earlier than commonly believed. Quote, the calculation of the beginning of our calendar, based on the birth of Jesus, was made by Dionysius Exiguus, who made a mistake in his calculations by several years. The actual date of Jesus' birth was several years before, end quote, Pope Benedict XVI. Lewis goes on to state, the assertion that the Christian calendar is based on a false premise is not new. Many historians believe that Christ was born sometime between 7 BC and 2 BC, but the fact that doubts over one of the keystones of Christian tradition have been raised by the leader of the world's 1 billion Catholics is striking. The timing, he states, is also amazing because of the advent that has been parlayed around about the so-called Day of Judgment or change on December 21st, 2012, the beginning of the winter solstice. The Bible does not specify a date of the birth of Christ. There does appear to be vagueness in the calculations. But is it possible to craft or recraft our past? And in recrafting our past, could we shape the future? Now, Clive Lewis goes on to state, in another attempt to cover up the missing time or lost calculations and fabrications, this could be one. We can also use other methods, however, though, to try to rule out the phantom time hypothesis. We can determine time using astrological and astronomy charts. However, it seems a bit odd that in 2011 there was an attempt to even change the zodiac. We were told that due to Earth changes reported by NASA, there needed to be an added house to the zodiac. It is the house of the dragon or the serpent holder. I bet you didn't know about that one. Now, how many houses are there? How many signs are there in the zodiac? 12. But the added one would make it 13. Very, very interesting. Clive Lewis asks, what if one of the biggest conspiracies is a conspiracy to create a past that did not exist? Time and history is literally a phantom, and all we know of it is what we have been told to us by authorities that control the perception of time and the way we view history. No one would even attempt to say that the entire era was made up or pieced together in an incongruent puzzle that cannot be trusted. The conspiracy of the phantom time is not just a conspiracy of the past. It is indeed a conspiracy of the future. So the question is there anything to the theory of phantom time? Obviously, it is an interesting, albeit quite possibly outlandish theory in the end. If there was a period of phantom time, period in which time was lost, I will submit to you that it could be lost either which way. We could have lost vacant time, or we could have failed to record time, in which case, we may be closer to the coming of the Lord than we think. Regardless of what phantom time may or may not be, one thing we do know is that the time of the Lord's prophetic calendar does not move according to the Mayan calendar, the Julian calendar, or the Gregorian calendar. It does indeed move according to the prophetic calendar of God. And either which way, time is of the essence. It is very interesting that the Bible speaks so much of time, and even in Ephesians we are told to be redeeming the time. So phantom time, are we missing 300 years? Is there a global conspiracy of the Roman Catholic Church to rob us of time? I don't know, but I know there is a daily conspiracy in our lives to rob us of the value of our time. Don't lose your time and allow it to be a phantom.
Welcome to the desert of the real.